Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, and I know you do, be a pal and tell a friend because I'm an only child, and don't you think we've been through enough? I mean, really. Today, we are chatting with Marlene from Mars Cleaning Service. Marlene started as a part-time van, carpet, and upholstery cleaner and has grown into a full-service cleaning business over the last 38 years. If you want to reach out to Marlene, you can get a hold of her at www.marscleaningservice.com. Marlene, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, everybody.
I am so excited to have you on. I haven't done an official poll, but from what I can remember, 38 years is the most veteran cleaner we've had on. So you might have a big distinction here of knowing what's going on. Have you really been in the business that long?
Yeah, I have. I started it part-time, and then about 6 years later, I went into it full-time.
That is so gosh, this is being recorded 2016, so this is like in the late 70s you started?
Yes, 1979.
Mm-hmm. Man, I got to imagine you've got some amazing stories over the last coming on 40 years.
Oh, some good, some not so good.
Good. I'm glad that I'm not talking to a liar, because if you said, no, 38 years, everything's went perfect, I don't think I'd be able to believe you. Well, you know, if you wouldn't mind, I would love to hear just a couple, and I think Cleaning Nation would as well, because I've got to imagine the majority are, you know, just starting or been in 5 or 10 years, maybe 20 for the old timers, but 38 years, I would love to hear if you're okay just sharing, like, how you've been. Has it grown consistently? Has it been up and down? Have you had a bunch of employees and not very many? Like, take us through a little bit of your journey, if you don't mind.
Holy cow, that's a lot of questions in one spot.
I'm a curious guy.
You want to pick one?
Well, just if you would tell us, like, kind of take us through the journey. Has it been straight? You know, because most of the people I've talked to, they've only been in business like 5 years, and it's kind of been not a straight up, but, you know, we started just me part-time, and then I went full-time, and I hired one employee. Now I've got six, and, you know, but over 38 years, I got to imagine maybe it went up and down. How's it been for you?
Oh, yes. Over the course of the time in business, there have been some down periods for sure. Overall, it's always kind of grown somewhat, but I did have some really tight years where suddenly I really had to put in 14 hours a day or so every day for a while and get things going again. But it does. And the good times are the good times. And yeah, sometimes there's been situations where I did not want to do something. I did not. And I thought, if I don't do this, this might be a regret. So I remember one time I happened to be standing talking to someone at a Quick Mart or something, and they asked me something about a floor, and I started talking about the floor and what to do with the floor. And suddenly he says, well, you know, maybe you'd like to do this floor. I was the guy who was in charge of making those decisions. So I said, yeah, that'd be great. And we put the little wheeler, I want you to go all these places and get me a bid for all of these places. And I was like astounded, you know. So that's what I did. And it was a terrible, snowy, yucky, freezing, rainy, snowy kind of day. And we just got in the van and went one by one to all of them and worked on it and got back to them in like 2 days. And I got leads on. I had it for several years. So sometimes you just got to go at it and go do it.
Yeah, I found in my experience.
Even if it doesn't seem like it's a great idea. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I talked over you. Say again, please.
No, that's okay. I didn't, you know, I was just babbling on there. Yeah. It was an interesting experience.
Yeah, I've definitely found that the success generally doesn't come from the things that you want to do or that are easy. It's those times where you're like, I really would rather not talk to this person or step out of my comfort zone. or do this thing, that's where you make your money. The, you know, just the day-to-day stuff that's easy tends to be, you know, you have to do it, but it's not the most profitable part. The profitable part's when you step out of your comfort zone and do what you don't want.
Right. You have to take care of your customer.
Yeah. that is weird for sure in the customer service business. So how many employees do you have now? And how many employees do you have now? And kind of what's been your, obviously you started with zero. What's been the highest amount and where you're at now in terms of staff and help?
Well, I have, four full-time people and, couple dozen part-time people.
Okay. And the full-time people, are those mostly in the field working, or are they more administrative and helping you with that?
Yeah, well, two are administrative. I'm mostly retired right now, actually. So I don't do that much in the company anymore. So I have an office administrator and a director of operations. He doesn't want to be called the service manager because he wants D.O. on his business cards. You know why?
I would love to know why.
Because he says, I do everything. So.
All right, that's good. I like that. I was not with him at the beginning, but that's actually kind of cute. He's turned me around a little bit. All right, so real quick before we move on to me giving you some coaching, what do you do? Is it residential? Is it commercial? Is it janitorial? Is it floors?
Yes.
What exactly? Who do you serve?
Yes. A full-service janitorial company. We do home cleaning. We do commercial, all kinds of janitorial stuff. We do floors and carpets. Carpets is what we started with. Mm-hmm. And any kind of surfaces. As a matter of fact, my director of operations is in Las Vegas right now at the Surfaces Show, and he speaks there.
Windows,
we have a lot of subcontractors. For instance, we found this really great window company, and they do a lot of our windows for us, so we don't have to have all of that extra equipment and things. And we also subcontract other service industries too. So it's important to have good relationships and like businesses in the area and refer to each other and work with each other.
Yeah, Cleaning Nation.
It's great for networking and the networking is important.
Yeah, I want to agree 1,000%. Cleaning Nation. Marlene just kind of said it, I don't want to say quickly, but amongst some other things. So I want to pull out this little gem so you don't miss it. I've only been in business 20 years, so you know I'm not exact where Marlene's at, but I have found that relationships are the key to just about everything, whether it's finding good employees, whether it's finding good customers, whether it's finding good contractors, whether it's getting along with some sort of government. You know, I've had contracting where I had to deal with the government. Relationships. So Marlene, you hit it on the head, and I just didn't want to jump past it without giving them a chance to write that one down. Relationships are the key. Any other thoughts on that before we get into the coaching?
Well, yeah, I totally agree that relationships are absolutely the key. The relationships with your customer, relationships with your other contractors in the area, and most importantly, the relationships with your employees. You have to have employees that feel good about working with you because they take care of the customer. Once you get a little bigger, you can't be on every job, obviously. So you need for your employees to understand everything. How to deal with the customer, the differences in the chemicals, just the politeness and a lot of different kinds of things. That's really important. They know it all because they're out there on the line, and you need to appreciate them for being out there on the line every day, taking care of your business for you.
Yeah, your employees are definitely going to take care of your customers the way that you take care of your employees. So if you don't love on your employees, it's going to be real hard to expect them to love on your customers. And when you treat your employees really well, you've got a really good chance they're going to treat your customers well.
Exactly.
All right, perfect. That has been probably the best intro we've got. So we're putting you down for best intro and longest in business on the show. You've already won 2 awards. You've just been here 8.5 minutes. So congratulations, Marlene.
Oh, wow.
We'll have a big ceremony coming up here shortly. I don't know when, but we'll make it happen. Okay, Marlene, so what can I help you with today? What's the biggest thing in your business today that you would like help with?
I would like some help in doing the right kind of advertising to draw new customers to my business.
Okay. That's a really good question. I think there are a lot of people in Cleaning Nation out there that are interested in that. What have you tried so far?
Would you repeat that, please?
Sure. What have you tried so far in advertising and kind of how is what's worked and not worked so I don't rehash stuff that you've already been through?
Well, I tried to do a lot of local advertising, of course. We go into little community journals and home pages and things like that. And it works sometimes. I don't know as we get a lot of direct business off of it, but I do know it gives us community recognition. And I suppose in the long run, something comes back out of that. Of course, we have a website. There used to be a local advertisement paper that everybody checked, and it's not in business anymore. So most of us in the area here now are just kind of scrabbling around trying to figure out where to put our ads and how to get people to know we exist. So that's the issue that's going on right now. The other thing is you might find that when you have an advertising budget and then you go and start to do advertising, the budget doesn't go very far with the cost of some of the ads today. I know when I was just starting out, I didn't have a lot for advertising, so I used to just put up little cards, my business cards and other little, 3x5 cards, wherever I put them up. I made sure that I had a big logo on my van so people would see it moving around town. And that worked almost as good as anything else I've ever tried. Sometimes it's just footwork, you know.
That is a great, that's a great background. Thank you. I think I can give you a lot better coaching based on that. And I think there's, again, a lot of the Cleaner Nation out there is probably in a similar position. So I've got a bunch of stuff I can share that I think is going to give you a lot of value today. You can start putting this into action as soon as we're done with this interview. So first of all, the one thing I want to say is that you mentioned something that I'm a huge proponent against. You said, well, we do some stuff and I don't know if it brings in, sometimes it brings in work, sometimes it doesn't, but we've kind of got that branding effect or people at least know who we are. What we do, if you're Coca-Cola, if you're Ford, if you're NASCAR or the NFL, absolutely, you can spend $100 million to get people to understand what your logo is and just kind of get that branding effect. If you're a cleaning company, I think, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think under 90% have reached $1 million. Owning their cleaning company. So if you're a cleaning company in the six-figure range where you're not at that multi-million dollar mark yet, even if you are at the multi-million dollar mark, just like you said, you don't have the budget to really throw out $2,000 just a month or, whatever, a quarter, depending on your size, to have people just have this name recognition. We don't have the budget for that. So the only marketing for our business I ever recommend is what's called direct response marketing. So if you can't track it, if you don't have a phone number that they call, a special phone number for that ad, or a website that they go to, or an email that they send to, or a promotion code that they use, and you can't track, I spent $1,000 on this job or on this advertising piece, I got 14 calls back, I got 3 bids, and I got 1 job, or whatever the case may be, if you can't track that, throw that advertising rep out of your office. No thanks. We don't do it. Do not do anything that's not direct response where you can track it. Does that make sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me take that with the van example, because vehicles, especially if you've got multiple vehicles running around, you're in a smaller town, can be a huge benefit. So there's, and I don't want to say right way and wrong way, but there's what I've found to be a very effective way and a moderately effective way. What you're doing is just, here's a phone number, here's kind of our logo, maybe one line of what we do. That is certainly better than just having these vans walk around kind of camouflage where nobody knows what you do. So that's a step one. What I'd like to see and what I coach my clients to do is you've got to turn that into a direct response thing. So instead of just saying, hey, we do, Mars Cleaning Service, 888-555, whatever your number is, I like putting some sort of thing that the customer's interested in. So maybe call now for a free recorded message on 7 things you must know before you hire a residential cleaning service or something like that. So free consumer's guide on carpet cleaning, something where the customers that are interested in what you're doing, your prime target is going to raise their hand and go, well, I'm interested in a free consumer's guide or, because no one's going to call in on a consumer's guide to choose a carpet cleaner unless they're interested in choosing a carpet cleaner. So when they call in, instead of trying to sell them something. You can even have a recorded message, which, again, that sounds so old and people are like, oh, that was back in the 90s. They work fantastic. People don't want to call in and talk to what they perceive to be a salesperson. That's going to give them a bunch of pressure. You know, they're just not interested. But if they're driving in their car and they're interested in getting their house cleaned, their business cleaned, their carpets cleaned, and they can get this free recorded message, they're much more likely. They're just in the car. They got nothing to do but sit with their phone. Don't give a website because they're not. They can't go to a website, and they shouldn't be going to a website in their car. But they can make a call. So that's a perfect example of the right message. The message is, here's some bait I'm going to put out for people that are interested in what we're doing. With the right medium, a van is a good medium for people that are driving, and the call to action should be the phone, right? You don't want to have a website call to action when they're in their car. Just like if they're on the web, you can have them call you, but they're more likely to go to a website. So you want to kind of match your media to your message to your target market. Does that make sense? Can you see how that would really improve the value of your van?
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
And then you might get 20. So what happens when they call that recorded message? You're like, well, what good does that do? Well, once they do the recorded message, you say, hey, we've got this free, you know, whatever it is that you promise them, the free recorded message or the consumer's guide to whatever. You get their information. Hey, you know, leave us your name, your phone number, your email address, and we'll send you that. We'll send you out a packet. We'll send you the thing that we promised. And then they call in, they leave their information, and now you can continue following up with them. So that is how that works. So just to sum up so far, number one, direct response only. Number two, make sure if you're doing up your van, you're giving them a call to action that they're going to actually do as opposed to just your, you know, phone number without really telling them what you do. Third thing is, you kind of touched on it, and I want to make sure we don't miss it. A lot of people don't know how to budget for their cleaning, or even my least favorite, or not their cleaning, I'm sorry, their marketing. My least favorite thing to hear from a client is, I don't have any money to market. That means you're not going to grow your business. It's not that you can't ever grow on free things. There's a lot of things you can do that don't cost any money. But if you're not willing to prioritize client acquisition in your business with money, you're probably not going to have any success. So the way I always encourage people to do that, and we're running on short on time, so this will be the last thing I hit you with, is as a percentage of income, right? A lot of people get discouraged with, well, I just don't have any money. You do have money. And I like 10% just because it's easy. If you're only making $1,000 a month total, and that's a tiny, tiny business, then you have $100 towards advertising. It's not a ton, but you can't have a fixed amount, right? Because for some businesses, $500 a month might be a ton. And for others, that might not even be close to where you need to be. But if you've got that 10%, well, at $1,000 in revenue, you have $100 to spend on advertising. You can print some flyers and some business cards. At $10,000 a month in revenue, well, that's $1,000 in advertising. Now you can get some decent stuff. If you're a $1 million business and you've got $100,000 a month, you can spend $10,000 a month in advertising, and you're going to be very hard to compete with at that level. Any questions on that before we move on to the lightning round?
No, I do want to share something with you. I read it a long time ago. Well, that's another thing. When I first started in the business, it expanded because my customers were asking me about doing other things. You know, I started carpet and upholstery cleaning, and then it was, gee, do you do such and such and such and such? So what I needed to do was learn about all these other things, and I picked the brains of the people who knew. And one of the things I read one time that made sense to me, because I was one of those at the beginning, it's like, well, advertising costs too much. And here's what I read. People say advertising costs too much, and they can't afford it, and they can't afford it, and they can't afford it. And then what happens is they find money to put an ad in that says going out of business.
That's a great point. And just to tag on to that, advertising is only expensive if it doesn't work, right? If you give me $1,000 to bring you customers and I bring you $2,000 worth of customers, what's your advertising budget at that point? Well, it's unlimited. But if you give me $1,000 to bring you $100 in customers, your advertising budget should be zero, right? That's a bad return on investment. So that's
exactly.
Yeah. Love what you said, Marlene. Okay. Let's hit the lightning round. I'm going to give you three quick questions. You're going to give me three awesome answers. Life is going to be grand. Question one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Be patient, keep your sense of humor, and stick with it.
I'm going to repeat those. Those are so good. Be patient, keep your sense of humor, love it, and stick with it. Question two, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made in the cleaning business so we can learn from you?
Doing big jobs or new jobs on the full moon.
I've never had that. That's the first time we've had that biggest mistake in the cleaning business. You're 3 for 3, Marlene. What's the third question? What's one idea owners of cleaning companies can put into practice today that will improve their lives or business?
Get back to your customers. If someone referred somebody to you, send them a thank you note or a little call. And if you just finished a job, go back, or on the phone at least, give your call person, whoever that is, time to make those calls back to your customers. Contact with the customers.
Beautiful. Contact with the customers. Marlene, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your 38 years of experience, and your desire to grow. I appreciate you. Cleaning Nation appreciate you. When you want to check out Marlene's show notes page and get everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company, you can do that at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smart.